The Home Depot has pre-Black Friday prices on appliances today. Get $700 off a stainless steel French door Maytag Ice 2O refrigerator that uses even less energy than an average light bulb. All for just $1,198. Beat Black Friday's crowds with a wide selection of appliances at pre-Black Friday prices today. More saving, more doing. That's the power of the Home Depot. While supplies last through November 28th, U.S. only. See store for details.
Bonus round time. If you can't teach an old dog new tricks, what can you teach him?
Conversational French?
Correct. Gingerbread men are...
Gingerbread boys, all grown up.
Correct. True or false? Netflix lets you watch movies instantly through your game console or other devices.
Duh. True.
Correct! Watch unlimited TV episodes and movies for only $8 a month from Netflix. See terms of use.
Did I just win that new car over there?
No, I did.
This paid commercial may not represent the views of Hubbard Broadcasting Incorporated or Federal News Radio. Statements and opinions of this broadcast are solely those of individual contributors or advertisers as indicated. Federal News Radio does not take responsibility for those statements or opinions and accepts no responsibility or liability for any inaccuracy, errors, or omissions reported during this program.
Get ready for Foodie and the Beast with Nikki and David Nellis. A foodie born and bred, Nikki loves dining out, chatting up chefs, and insider industry buzz. David thinks a great meal is a good burger, a frosty brew, and a check for under $20. Foodie married Beast. And now they have the food and wine variety show that has everyone talking. From famous chefs, winemakers, and brewmasters to authors, farmers, and restaurant critics. It's Foodie and the Beast, and it's on now.
Hey, everybody. Good morning. Welcome to Foodie and the Beast with David and Nikki Nellis. I'm so glad to be back because while I will say Amanda McClements and Nikki together look like two gorgeous bookends,
well, I'm
bringing the acid, the edge back. I'm here.
I thought we were pretty
and
edgy.
I'm going to be shoving. Oh, you guys
without
were like
you.
Two chicks on the radio. But
we were two chicks on the radio.
I'm back now.
And
I know,
sitting,
right?
Sitting to my left is our special guest host for the day, the legendary chef and restaurateur and cookbook author Michel Richard of Citronelle and Centrale and Michel fame and other places. And
well, we have such a good show today, and I want to get right into it because we have a really full studio, not just with Chef Michel here, but we also have a very special guest. Puss in Boots is in studio.
Puss in Boots.
Yay.
Le Chat. Kitty, kitty, kitty.
Wait. Le Chat is here.
That's the world's biggest litter box behind Puss in Boots.
Oh, no, you're embarrassing.
But Puss in Boots is here along with Amy Gorell, who's the PR director out at the Gaylord Hotel, because they just launched their big holiday celebration
last
night. Which
we're going to talk about.
Talk all about it.
Yep. And also, we have in studio with us Aris Noble from Saks downtown. He's got all sorts of glasses and concoctions and things. We're going to be shaking it up and I think pouring some bubbly in a bit. And later on, we are going to be making burrata in studio. We are getting a hands-on demonstration from Chef Daniele from...
Tagolio. Tagolio and Oteca.
I didn't check how to you don't pronounce it.
Parla in italiano? No.
Capisci italiano.
All right.
Good. You
and also, we've got Hugh Atchison, who's a chef and restaurateur down south. He's a Canadian fellow who's set up shop in the Atlanta area, and he has melded French and Southern influences into some very exciting new cuisine.
Yeah, well, he has a new cookbook out, and we'll be talking about it. So,
let's start with Michel Richard.
Okay.
What do you want from me? First, normally I'm in bed. Sunday is my, I stay in bed very late, and my wife brings me the coffee and a croissant.
Oh my God! Do all the French wine like this, or just you?
All the French are the same. All great and wonderful.
All right, I got a question for you. I'm going to start right off here because I've got a plate of the most beautiful chocolate croissant in front of me.
I guess I have to dig in.
Yeah, and.
No,
what is the significance of the... actually, these are... The classic croissant is shaped like a crescent, yes?
This one is a pain au chocolat.
Mm-hmm.
Pain au chocolat. To this one.
It's a little
Amy.
Croissant dough with...
You gotta feed the baby.
Piece of chocolate inside. It's so delicious. Mm-hmm. Let me have a piece.
Amy, you want one?
I would love one. Oh, thank you.
They're nice. But they're nicer when they're warm. Mm. Can you warm them up someplace?
Yeah, well, honestly, we don't need to warm them up. They are actually delicious. But you brought them in for a specific reason.
Yeah, because I had a good friend who passed away a few years ago, 10 years ago.
And, a little known person.
His name is Jean-Louis Paladin. Mm. Jean-Louis, he used to smoke too much, and the result was kind of negative. He went to eat the croissant or the pain au chocolat.
He went to the great croissant in the sky?
In heaven. And Jean, we call him, myself, or in France, in north of France, we call it pain au chocolat. Jean-Louis used to call it chocolatine.
Why?
So good.
Why? Because maybe that the way, I don't know, the name was better for him.
Right.
Maybe in southwest, they call it chocolatine.
Mm-hmm.
And he used to eat, I used to come to see me in D.C., he used to eat three or four.
I can see that. It's not hard to eat that many.
It's so delicious, though.
Right.
And if you want to eat them...
But these are low-cal, right?
Oh, yeah.
And carb-free.
Low-fat chocolate.
1 pound of flour for 1 pound of butter. It's great.
There you go.
It's delicious.
Well, later in the show, we're going to be talking about you are doing a... whole tribute to Jean-Louis Paladin at Michelle in Tyson's Corner. And we'll get to that in just a little bit. That's why we've got these fabulous croissants or pain au chocolat with us this morning. But Aris from Sax, I want to get to you.
David said sex. There's a fabulous restaurant, and I don't know what you would call it, a restaurant, nightclub?
Restaurant lounge is the premise. You
know, okay.
It's a very unique space. We're at 734 11th Street, which used to be the old Ortenique and way back.
Posh. It's been a lot of things.
Yeah. BET Live was the original space.
Mm-hmm.
So when Bob Johnson owned BET, he used to actually do sort of like a Soul Train kind of thing out of it.
And, you mean Soul Train. Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Exactly.
Thank you.
I couldn't have done it better.
So good.
What happened was is that he actually took the space. He owned the building, and he, instead of just doing like one or a second floor, he actually took the foyer of that building and made that into the restaurant. So you have like these huge 35-foot ceilings, you know, just very elaborate. And
I think we should explain. I mean, it's Baroque in style. I mean, it's a gilded interior. It's very lush.
But Bob Johnson did not go Baroque putting it together. Right? Thank you.
It's a
show. I mean, we should talk about when the waitress comes and introduces the menu, she says, we're going to have a very sexy evening.
No, that's not what she said.
What is she? She's a sexual.
She said, we're going to have a sexual evening.
Oh.
I thought that was kind of... That didn't work for me, personally.
Yeah. And then there's a crazy show up on the stage with dancing and...
Right.
It's like Vegas.
It is. We've been compared to that. What it is costume cabaret and then burlesque, you know, throughout the evening.
Right.
And the choreographers have free rein on what the shows are.
Mm-hmm.
And there's no script to it. They have a script, but they don't let us know what it is before the evening. And the shows come up in 10-minute intervals.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes it is burlesque. Sometimes it could be just one of the dancers or a model, like on a couch.
Gaylord National came in today. They brought Puss in Boots. You could have come with a burlesque dancer.
Honestly, there's no way I could have gotten them out this early. It's hard enough for everyone here to get up, but there's no way.
I just want to know something. What does that mean, burlesque?
Oh, burlesque. Well, it's a style of dance.
Is that nude?
Almost nude.
I had my clothes off by the second course.
Right. So.
I'm glad.
Yeah, the place went out of business the next night.
It's a family restaurant, just so everyone knows.
Right.
Oh, yeah.
Sort of.
Depends on your family.
So let's talk about your drink program there. You're making a cocktail there today, to start us off. Tell us a little bit about it.
So what this is a drink we call the Winter Whiskey Sour. One of the things that we like about the cocktail program is we try to make it as seasonal as possible to follow our chef. And this drink we made to sort of signify, you know, the fall, Thanksgiving, you know, Christmas, New Year's.
Right.
What this is, it's very simple, very easy. We have whiskey in studio, but, you know, at home you can do whatever you'd like.
Mm-hmm.
You know, even a scotch works, like a fine oak.
Okay.
And we've taken a simple syrup, infused it with cinnamon, clove, allspice, star anise, and then black peppercorn.
Okay.
Fresh squeezed lemon juice, aromatic bitters, and then egg white for emulsification.
Oh, cool. So now what is the name of the drink?
Winter Whiskey Sour.
Winter Whiskey Sour. All right, well, you get...
You know, the fact you can remember all of that, to recap it, is impressive enough. There's a lot going on in there.
On the drive here, it's like a crazy one. Because usually I forget.
All right, well, while you're making that, we are going to talk about our experience last night. Last night, David and I took the kids to the Gaylord National at National Harbor. It was their... explosive grand opening of their ice presentation and also their Christmas on the Potomac. Amy Gorrell is in with us today. I don't even know how you're standing because that was an amazing feat. Last night, I mean, fireworks.
And you're 7 months pregnant. So.
Mm-hmm. Right, yep.
You're
exactly.
standing.
I'm standing, and there's a little baby in there. Thank you. It was so wonderful to have you visit last night. It was the kickoff to kick off Christmas, if you can imagine that. And we did open Christmas on the Potomac, which is our winter celebration. It runs now through January 8th. And then, of course, our famous ice attraction.
Right.
So I know you all walked through last night. Hopefully you went down those ice slides.
We did, of course.
We did.
My bum hurts this morning.
Yeah. I have to tell you, I have never gone down the slide. This is our third year doing it, but I did last night.
Great.
It was really... I think this year is absolutely the best. Wait, don't interrupt me.
Well, we got to tell people what they're... Listen, I mean...
I was about to go there.
All right, good.
So let me finish.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so...
Girlfriend.
So, but let's start from the beginning.
Yes.
Every single night, how will it break... How will the Christmas on the Potomac break out?
Right. Well, every single night, we kick off the activities with a 6:30 tree lighting show, which I think you all saw our big grand
tree. Yeah, and this is not your grandmother's tree, trust me.
No, no, no. It's a 60-foot tall glass Christmas tree that's suspended. It hangs in the center of our atrium, and we light it every single night. We have a 15-minute show that features the famous DreamWorks characters, of course, and we have Puss in Boots with us today.
My radio audience can't hear Puss in Boots because the cat got her tongue.
But. Cat, yeah. Yes. Kat got his song. But we have all of the DreamWorks characters at the Gaylord Hotel this holiday season. That includes, of course, Shrek, Kung Fu Panda, the Madagascar characters, Alex the Lion, Gloria the Hippo. And they're just so adorable. And they light our tree every single night. It's a fantastic show. And then it snows in the center of the atrium. We also have Gingy's Gingerbread decorating.
No, wait. Last night there was like a dancer show.
Yeah, you have dancing elves that look like Vegas showgirls.
Right. Well, they were there for the grand opening last night.
Okay.
But otherwise, the exact same show that we all saw last night is what happens every single night.
Okay.
In the center of our atrium. It's pretty jaw-dropping.
Now, we did go to Gingy's last night as well. So Gingy's is just, it's a place where you can buy gingerbread houses or gingerbread making kits, and then everybody can decorate.
Yes, and Gingy is, of course, the famous gingerbread man from the Shrek movies.
Right.
So you're actually walking inside his bakery. It's a life-size bakery.
It smells delicious.
Yes, and then you decorate your gingerbread house, and then you get to meet Gingy at the end of the experience, which is so fun. You can get your picture taken with him.
We did.
Yeah.
It was so cute.
And apparently he does know the Muffin Man, which I thought was...
Yes, he does know the Muffin Man.
They're very tight.
Well, look, the cat thinks you're funny.
What is this?
Well, today, what we've brought for you is a very interesting display, courtesy of our pastry team. We have overnight hotel packages this year called the DreamWorks Experience. Mm-hmm. And for our overnight hotel guests, they get to do all of these really cool DreamWorks experiences. And one of them is called Shrek Feast.
Okay.
So it is actually a breakfast or a brunch.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a wonderful over-the-top character dining experience. And today, our pastry chefs prepared for you a collection of some of the offerings that we're offering there. And hold on, let me look at my list.
Okay.
We have Pied Piper Pecan Bites.
Uh-huh.
We have Shrek's Earwax Bites, which are actually spiced pear and pecan chocolate crispy truffles.
Oh, my God. I haven't had ogre earwax since I was
edible.
A kid.
We have Donkey's Waffle Cones with Swamp Critter Mousse. It's a waffle cone filled with pistachio mousse and gummy worms.
Uh-huh.
And then we have Gingy's Gingerbread Cookies.
So much fun.
And one of the things I actually was just at the hotel this morning. We have a chocolate fountain, but the fountain is all made with white chocolate that is tinted green, and so the kids get to go up. It's called Shrek's Magic Chocolate Magic Potion Fountain, and you know, dunk their Rice Krispie balls, whatever, into the chocolate, and it is so much fun. Of course, Shrek and Princess Fiona are there.
What do you want? You want this?
Let me have one. Oh, it looks so good.
There we go.
Yeah, it's so much fun. The families just have such a wonderful time, and then they get to meet all of the DreamWorks characters as well this holiday season.
So much fun. Oh, my God. All right, well, we have to take a break in just a minute. Tell us a little bit about the ice itself, because we've had you in before to talk about it. It is magnificent, but tell us a little bit about it this year.
Well, this year the theme is Merry Madagascar. So, of course, Madagascar being one of the DreamWorks movies, you walk through 2 million pounds of ice in full color that is carved into a whole indoor winter wonderland. And we give you a parka because we keep it at 9 degrees. It's very cold in there.
Right.
And these are life-size sculptures of the Madagascar characters. And you walk through and there are 2-story-tall ice slides that everyone can go sliding down. It is so much fun. It's unlike anything you've ever seen before.
It really is. We had so much fun. Now, David and I spent with the kids Christmas at the Gaylord last year, and it was a really Christmas Eve. It was such a special, special overnight. We went with friends, and it snowed inside, and the Christmas tree lit up, and you have that fountain show. Everything about it is really fun, and
Thank you.
If people can get in on it, they should. Now, after our break, I want to tell people that there are two ways to get into ICE, because you can go the regular way, but we have a little secret way.
We sure do.
A little special. All right, this is David and Nikki Nellis and Misha Richard on Foodie and the Beast. We're going to be back with that secret way to see ICE the best way possible.
There is a watchmaking standard that is revered around the world. That standard comes from Rolex. From clasp to bracelet to its unique watertight oyster case, a Rolex holds its value because it was intended to. Crafted from just three precious metals, platinum, steel, and gold, each defies the ordinary. Its steel, 904L, virtually indestructible and corrosion resistant, is incomparable. Its patented Everrose Gold, created in an exclusive foundry, will remain beautiful for life. Inside, a genuine Rolex movement is a product of superiority and remarkable testing. It is unrivaled. At Rolex, flawless standards create more than a watch. They create a value that was meant to endure. For a complete selection of Rolex timepieces, visit your official Rolex jeweler.
See what a new watch can say about you at Tourneau, the world's largest watch store since 1900. Tourneau, the fashion center at Pentagon City, Arlington.
This year, celebrate a true-to-the-farm family-style Thanksgiving feast at Potomac's Founding Farmers and leave the cooking to us. We're offering a special multi-course selection including turkey, ham, fried chicken, made-from-scratch side orders like mashed potatoes, cornbread stuffing, roasted vegetables, homemade breads, and scrumptious desserts. It's just $35 a person, excluding alcohol, tax, and gratuity, and $20 per child under 12. We'll be open from noon until 8 p.m. on Thursday, November 24th. To welcome your party of up to 10 guests. We're located at 12505 Park Potomac Avenue in the 20854 with plenty of free parking. Make your reservations today at wearefoundingfarmers.com.
Hi, welcome to Best Buy. Can I help you?
Yeah, my brother got an Insignia HD Radio Portable last month, and he really enjoys his workouts now.
Yep, HD Radio broadcasts are great. All kinds of new stuff on the HD2, HD3 channels.
And the Insignia HD Radio Portable is $49.99?
Yes, it's a great value.
Whoa, lead the way.
And did you know Insignia also offers an HD Radio Boombox for just $99?
Insignia HD Radio receivers. Get them now at Best Buy. HD Radio. More radio, more value.
Hey, we're back on Foodie and the Beast, and we're joined by our special guest host, James Beard, award-winning chef, restaurateur, and author, Michel Richard. Hello.
Oh, hello.
I know. I'm just hoping to get a free meal. And Amy Gorell from the Gaylord is here. I have to say, one of the things that the chef asked me while we were off, he said, does it really snow during the Christmas, the holiday celebration? It's an 18-story atrium. We've been there. Glass atrium overlooking the Potomac. And it really does snow inside.
It
it's
does.
The coolest thing.
It's magic.
Ever.
All right. So now let's tell people about ICE.
Yes.
How? Because I found out something last night that I was like, ooh, that's good to know. Tell us about the VIP passes.
Yes. Well, ICE is very popular, as everyone has learned.
Yes.
Staggering statistic, 250,000 people came to see ICE last year.
Wow.
We expect it to be just as popular this year, if not even more, because of the DreamWorks characters. So we have introduced something new this year. It's called a VIP pass.
Mm-hmm.
So for an additional $15 on top of your regular price ICE ticket, you get to go through our VIP line, which lets you bypass the standby line.
Right.
Plus, on the other side, you get a cup of hot chocolate, you get a meet and greet with the Penguins of Madagascar, and you get special 3D holiday light glasses. They're glasses that you put on, and when you look at holiday lights, you see a little figure. They're really cool.
Oh, neat.
So it's a great value.
So it's like drinking one of these cocktails, actually.
Yeah.
They are ready. Can I have one soon?
He can't wait.
Chef is ready for
all right,
a cocktail.
We only have a couple more seconds. How does everybody get tickets to ICE, and where do they get all the information?
Right. We definitely encourage
you. Can you give me one?
Not today, but I will. Yes, we'll
boy,
take
oh,
care
boy.
Of it.
And everybody said I was a schnorrer.
Exactly.
Right.
ChristmasOnThePotomac.com or 301-965-4000. We definitely encourage people, if you're going to come on the weekends, to try to buy a ticket in advance because it does sell out.
It does. Like, it sold out today and it sold out yesterday,
yes,
right?
Yes, yesterday and today were already
Thank
sold
you.
Out.
Well,
it's that popular.
I will say, unequivocally, there are a lot of great holiday celebrations around. There's nothing like what's going on at the Gaylord anywhere in the Washington area.
Absolutely.
It's awesome.
Amy,
thank
Puss
you.
In Boots, thank you for coming in studio and bringing the gingerbread house and what is this again? Shrek's?
It's called Shrek Feast.
Shrek's Feast.
I've got one last question. Okay. At the size of that Puss in Boots is, does he get fleas on him the size of baseballs?
Puss in Boots doesn't.
That's a
count.
Big
Please.
Cat.
My kids only wanted to know if Antonio Banderas was really coming in studio.
Nice.
But thank you. Thank
oh,
you
thank
so
you
much.
Thank you for having us.
Okay, so, Aris, just tell us quickly.
Yes.
Give us the name one more time. What are we
when
about to sip?
Sour is about what you're supposed to taste. What is a contrast in both, texture?
It's so good.
And then also, you know, what we do, too, is look for balance. You know, trying to balance it out a little bit.
Well, the egg white is so nice
on
that.
Very
yeah,
good.
I was going to say, it's almost like a
meringue.
Yeah. It's meringue. It's,
it like
is meringue.
As Chef said, it's the same concept as a meringue. You know, mm-hmm. gives body, you know, to the actual
lovely.
Cocktail. Because without it, it's a little bit, you know, thin.
You know, okay, I just thought a thing. With Michelle Richard sitting next to me, I probably should be intimidated to say anything about food because I'm going to be wrong, probably.
Oh, yeah.
Yes. Oh, yeah. Yes. All right.
Absolutely.
Well,
Chef, let's just talk quickly. So you are doing this dinner. This tribute menu for Jean-Louis Paladin. What made you decide to do it?
First, Jean-Louis was a very good friend of mine. I met... What you want me to push the button?
No. I'm talking to my husband, not you.
What do you want? You want that?
I want the book.
Oh, the book.
Oh, you want the book?
There we go.
The book.
Oh. Yeah. Try to be quiet, and then it doesn't work.
No, Jean-Louis was a very good friend of mine. I met him in 1979 when he just moved to this country mm-hmm. and become very, very good friend. Mm-hmm. And we cooked together, and he was the best chef in this country. Mm-hmm. And he used to smoke a lot. And
right.
I used to tell him, stop to smoke. He was smoking every, you know, cigar, whatever. And he passed away 10 years ago. It was mm-hmm. Pretty sad.
Right.
On the 25th of November. And we're going to... what I want to do at Michelle in the my new restaurant in Tyson Corner, we're gonna celebrate, or we're gonna try to remember people, mm-hmm. Remember Jean-Louis the way he used to cook. For 1 week, we're gonna use one of his menu. We're gonna serve his food, and I hope all your fans are going to come and
I hope so
and taste good
well,
food
and
of Jean-Louis.
The thing I want to tell everybody is you can go to thelistareyouonit.com and get all the information.
Of course you can.
It.
Absolutely.
All right, so
just a little plug.
Now we're gonna Now we're gonna turn. Hugh, are you on the phone?
I am on the phone.
How are you? Hugh Atchison is a Canadian trained chef. Excuse me, a Canadian who is trained in French culinary techniques, but he lives and works and owns restaurants in the Atlanta area. And so he has melded French cooking techniques with Southern cuisine, and it sounds awesome. And he's got a new cookbook out called A New Turn in the South, and he's here to talk about it. Hugh, welcome to the show.
Well, thanks for having me.
We didn't want to put you under any pressure by having a French chef in studio. We didn't want to, you know, we didn't want to make you feel bad. Anything.
You guys have Michelle in studio, and then you're talking about Jean-Louis, and those people are just, these are foundational figures in French cooking in America. They're just awesome.
And, you know, he's nodding his head and agreeing with
right,
you.
Right, exactly.
So. You should.
And what you are missing, unfortunately for you, is that he did bring his pain au chocolat in this morning, and it is absolutely scrumptious. But, Hugh, let's talk a little bit about you. Tell me, you know, how do you reconcile your French training with Southern cooking?
You know, it's not really a reconciling. It's what I know. You know, mm-hmm. I grew up in French kitchens in Ottawa and Hull and then in Montreal. So, you know, I learned in French kitchens when I was young. I mean, that was my cooking school, meaning I never went to cooking school. And everybody says, oh, you're self-trained. No, I was taught by amazing chefs in kitchens.
Mm-hmm.
So it's just a different, you know, and then I went to school in political philosophy. But the cooking was always my thing, and it was always in French, with a very French training.
Mm-hmm.
So it was great, you know, very brigade system. And then we can mix that style of cookery with this amazing agrarian landscape that we have down here and really relish in this amazing history of food, too,
mm-hmm.
that's here. So you can never tire of Southern food. There's such history and there's such that amazing tome of history to it that, you know, we never get bored by it.
Well, Hugh, let me ask a question. Is the... You know, because we're Northerners, so anytime we come to the South, we're carpetbaggers, and we make assumptions about the whole region. But is the cuisine of Georgia and its environs different, say, than Louisiana or Texas? I mean, they're certainly different landscapes, so you're sourcing different things. But is it that dramatically different the way some of the foods in Northern Italy and Southern Italy are?
Oh, I think there's a huge difference. I think when you're talking geographically about the sort of southern Appalachians and the foothills of the Appalachians and then spreading into the Lowcountry, the Carolinas and Georgia, you're talking about phenomenally different foods that are based on different cores than Acadian food and Cajun and Creole food,
mm-hmm.
Which would be much more its own style of cooking and has many of its own influences, and Cajun Creole are two very different styles.
Well, tell me about it, because last night we were talking about it, and Nikki is, you know, if you can't tell from the name of the show, Foodie and the Beast, she knows what she's talking about, and I don't. So I said, well, like, what could be so different? Isn't a boar, you know, a pig and all that? She said, it starts with the sauces. So
no, I didn't say that at all. In fact, that was nothing like our conversation.
Well, that's
all.
How I remember it.
But,
that's what being married gets you.
But how... Yeah, exactly. But tell us a little bit about the book. I mean, there. It's not like there's not a lot of books out there right now with Southern cooking. What is added in here for people who are your fans?
You know, the book is meant to be, you know, it's meant to be very much a sense of place in a mm-hmm. culinary notebook and sort of a reverential treatment of Southern food with a sort of a modern lightning. And a lot of sort of a tribute to the community that I live in, which is Athens, Georgia, and
mm-hmm.
what that's meant to me and the different farms around us and how they've impacted. But then it's decidedly a look at the classics of Southern food in a lot of ways, but also with my twists on it that are going to make it a little bit lighter, a little bit less, rich and more modernized for the time.
Well, that's what I was going to ask you. I mean, how are you playing with some of the traditions in Atlanta with some of your background cooking skills?
Well, you know, when instead of using a lot of lard, we use a lot of olive oil.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we still use a good amount of butter, but as Julia Child said, everything in moderation.
Michelle loves butter.
We love butter.
I was a pastry chef for 20 years. Butter was the answer.
By the way, Hugh, he has stolen your cookbook.
Right.
Just now, so.
It's mine.
Well, but even Michelle would probably be cooking with about a quarter of the amount of cream as he used to cook, as he probably used to cook with, Michelle. Is that true?
No, we don't use cream much anymore. But
yeah.
But we still use butter and olive oil. To make butter,
yeah.
I love butter. Exactly. I love the flavor of butter. You have a piece
butter is so beautiful.
I think if you taste this, this will be just
He's
like
He's been
that.
Buttering me up all morning. Thank you.
I just saw in your book color green. That's something we never use in France.
Right.
Color green. Even in Canada, do you ever use color green in Canada?
No, we didn't really use collard greens in Canada, but, you know, there's things that are similar. I mean, cabello nero and sort of some of the darker kales are going to have the same type of properties. And collard greens are actually really good for you. The darker green the vegetable, the more mm-hmm. vitamin intake you're going to get.
Well, we also saw in one of your videos you're a big kale man, right?
We love kale.
We do too.
I just love greens. And, mm-hmm. You know, so, I mean, everybody has this vision of Southern food as being grits and fried chicken and sort of richness and gravies and white gravy and things like that. And I think that we need to turn that vision on its head because it's as much as shaving off local corn and tossing it with diced beautiful heirloom tomatoes in the summer
mm-hmm.
and a simple onto a simple piece of grilled bread as a sort of really elegant but simple salad than it is about those fried chickens and things like that.
Well,
I think there's a reverence for things that people don't even know about in the South.
Hugh, let me ask you this, because obviously with the holidays looming the way they are, what recipes would you point people to in the cookbook, particularly for that, now that literally Thanksgiving is a couple of days away?
You know, I think the time for collard greens and things like that is definitely upon us. You could do squash casserole, and that's very popular in the South.
Mm-hmm.
We've got a recipe for lobster pie, which is kind of like a oyster pie, which is very popular.
That sounds very decadent.
It is decadent. That one is decadent.
Mm-hmm.
But
lobster pie?
Lobster
really...
pie? You don't think that sounds decadent?
15 guests.
So you're not making lobster pie?
I'm going to have to go to my bank and ask for a loan. 15 lobster pie. Ooh!
We run restaurants, so we're not there.
Right.
But wealthy. What
about, you know what, listen, Hugh, we have to take a quick commercial break. Can you hang on the phone for a couple seconds
when
we come back? I'd love to talk about what you're putting on your table for Thanksgiving and how people who pick up your book can use it for Thanksgiving in just a few days. Is that all right?
That sounds great. We'll be here.
All right. This is David and Nikki Nellis with Foodie and the Beast. We'll be right back.
This year, celebrate a true-to-the-farm family-style Thanksgiving feast at Potomac's Founding Farmers and leave the cooking to us. We're offering a special multi-course selection, including turkey, ham, fried chicken, made-from-scratch side orders like mashed potatoes, cornbread stuffing, roasted vegetables, homemade breads, and scrumptious desserts. It's just $35 a person, excluding alcohol, tax, and gratuity, and $20 per child under 12. We'll be open from noon until 8 p.m. on Thursday, November 24th, to welcome your party of up to 10 guests. We're located at 12505 Park Potomac Avenue in the 20854 with plenty of free parking. Make your reservations today at wearefoundingfarmers.com.
Hi, this is Wayne Zell, host of Blueprint for Wealth, every Saturday here at 10 a.m. on Federal News Radio. Please join me this week and listen to my special guest, Peter Thiele, chairman of the Children's Charities Foundation, which hosts annually the BB&T Classic basketball tournament scheduled for December the 4th this year. Blueprint for Wealth is brought to you by Odin Feldman & Pittleman, a full-service law firm located in Fairfax, Virginia. Visit us on the web at ofplaw.com.
How would you like up to $50 out of the blue? That's the wellness incentive from the Blue Cross Blue Shield Federal Employee Program. Complete our Blue Health Assessment and get up to $50 for qualified medical expenses. $50 out of the blue. Who knew? To learn more about the Federal Employee Program, visit whonew.fvpblue.org or call 1-800-411-BLUE.
The Washington Caps and Skydex Technologies have teamed up to raise money for the TAPS organization through the sale of Courage Caps and T-shirts. TAPS is a tragedy assistance resource for anyone who has suffered the loss of a military loved one in service to our country. Courage Caps and T-shirts are now available for purchase. Help support the families and loved ones of our honored military men and women. Visit washingtoncaps.com/couragecaps to purchase yours today.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to Foodie and the Beast with David and Nikki Nellis.
We just said goodbye to Puss in Boots. That was fun.
Goodbye,
Puss in
Boots.
It was a lot of fun.
I scratched him under his chin.
Yes, good for you.
He's a big boy.
Yeah.
And we've got Hugh Atchison on the phone. Hugh, are you still there, I hope?
I am here.
Excellent. All right, so, Hugh, your book just came out. So for people who are picking it up, I mean, it is gorgeously laid out, fantastic pictures. Tell us where people can go to in the book for what they can put on their Thanksgiving table coming up this week.
You know, if you're into the turkey, you should just continue with the tradition that you've done.
Mm-hmm.
There isn't a turkey recipe really in the book, but there are a lot of sides.
Right.
And, you know, in the past few years, my table at Thanksgiving, the protein amount has shrunk.
Hmm.
And I think that's a good thing. And I think that's what we're seeing in pretty much every meal.
I was going to say, I think we're seeing that everywhere these days.
So, but I want to make up for that with an abundance of vegetables and
mm-hmm.
fun different things on the table. So there are a lot of pilaus in the book and different like Hop and John and a pepper pilau. There's this awesome leek bread pudding, which is a savory bread pudding. With
I saw that.
Toasted bread and an abundance of leeks, and that's always a winner. Man,
mm-hmm.
people just love that dish.
Mm.
But then there's red beans and rice. There's Brussels sprouts, which are all just the individual leaves of the Brussels sprouts are so good because they're exactly what everybody hates about Brussels sprouts. They go away from that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
It's crisp leaves, and as opposed to that little overcooked cabbage sensation that we try to avoid.
Mm-hmm.
But then there's a lot of pickles and things like that. That you know, we love having pickles on the table and chow chows and pickle-lilies and different things like that to really bounce up a meal.
Well, I feel like pickles are really turning up. You know, house-made pickles are really turning up at restaurants all around. I mean, I know here in D.C., you're seeing more and more of them on the tables, chow chows and relishes and stuff like that. Where a couple of years ago, you didn't really see that, and people are really making their own, which is nice. It seems like a Southern tradition, but I think it's creeping up north slowly.
Well, I think that what we're going back to is an idea that I'm preaching that they go against convenience. Mm-hmm. Realize that you can make all these things from scratch from your own larder, and that's fun. I mean, that it, I know it takes time, but the happiness you'll get out of that is so abundant. If you're making pickles with your kids or something like that on a Saturday afternoon, and these are the things that I just don't want my kids to lose. And
right.
I want to show them those skills.
Excellent. Well, listen, we really appreciate you joining us today. That was a it was just terrific. Your book is really wonderful. Do you have, you want
well,
to
I want to make
question?
Sure everybody knows where to find the book. And also, I was going to ask if you're doing any book signings up our way.
Oh, yeah.
You know, actually, my sister lives in Alexandria, and we're just talking about lining something up.
Okay.
So I think it won't be till the new year, but I'm thinking in late January, I think we'll be in the D.C. area.
All right. Well, will you let us know, please?
We will definitely let you know.
Okay,
excellent.
Wait, and online, should we go to Amazon? Where do we go to find the book?
You can go to Amazon. You can go to HughAtchison.com, mm-hmm. and we'll ship you one if you want a signed one. Or you can, Amazon, Barnes & Noble, all the usual suspects.
Well, how about if I want one with a side of collard greens? Can I?
Have you come down to Empire State South in Atlanta?
And that's my last question for you. What is you've got a couple of restaurants. You've got Empire State South. You've got, 5 and 10, the National. But why Empire State South? What's different about the food there?
You know, Empire State South is the newest one in Atlanta, and it's just firing on all cylinders right now. It's a year old, finally matured, and it is kicking it. And
cool.
It's just winning all sorts of awards. It's got a really inventive young chef there who's great to work with and is doing phenomenal food.
Oh, wait a minute. I've seen a video of you. So if he's an inventive young chef, what does that make you? How old is he? Is he 12?
He is 12. I am 18.
Nice.
Excellent. We have the same age.
It's something about child labor laws, I want to say, but
I know.
I'm going to let it go. Well, Hugh, thanks so much for joining us. The book is A New Turn in the South. The author is a chef, a restaurateur, and now cookbook author, Hugh Atchison. And Hugh, thanks very much for joining us.
Hugh, why don't you come to my restaurant? I'd like to invite you for dinner.
Well, and the feeling is mutual. I was at the Beard Awards when you won.
Oh, that's so nice.
We love seeing you up there.
And he hasn't changed a bit.
No, he's slimmed down a little bit.
Lost weight. I'm
I never get.
Are you laughing?
No, not at you.
All right, Hugh. Thanks very much. So, kind of let's turn the tables here. We're going to go Italian now. Chef Daniele Turchetti is in from Tagolio Enoteca and Pizzeria in Arlington. And Chef, welcome to the show.
Thank you.
Let's kind of start off with you, because I can tell from your accent that you were not born in Arlington. So tell us how you got from somewhere in Italy to here.
So I'm born in Friuli and northern Italy,
mm-hmm.
and got in the United States 10 years ago in 1999. And I'm start with Italian in an Italian restaurant, mm-hmm. in Westchester. Mm-hmm. And I working for that for 5 years, and then I move in the city. I working for the big company, and then is 1 year and a half. I moved to Washington D.C. I open a restaurant in National Harbor, and then I meet the Tagolio family,
mm-hmm.
and now it's almost 1 year I working with in this restaurant.
All right,
excellent. Now you're going to be making burrata for us in studio. Now the thing about burrata, I think, is so fascinating. It's like 3 or 4 years ago, you really did not see it on many menus. And now it is turning up everywhere. And you make your own?
Yes. I make in the restaurant. The reason is you can find too many, you know, the burrata that mm-hmm. get imported from Italy
mm-hmm.
is, you know, have a long life. So I need to use in 2-3 days and I get bad.
But now you make your own mozzarella too, right?
I make the own mozzarella for the pizzas.
Mm-hmm.
And
how long does that take to make? How long does it take to make mozzarella?
30 minutes.
30 minutes?
Yeah.
That's all it takes?
It's only thing.
You
need
to
boil.
What am I doing wrong?
Because I'm not Italian.
Yes.
So, let me ask you, the next question is, for a restaurant, how much mozzarella do you have to make? I mean, and how do you keep it? I guess that's my question. If you've got all those tables and all those seats, how much do you have to sort of anticipate what you'll be doing?
And then normally the mozzarella you make in the morning, you know, you make the amount you needed for the day, and then you keep on the brain and the refrigerated. But the best mozzarella when you serve is in a room temperature.
Is it? Okay.
But so you make it fresh every day?
I make fresh every day. And the burrata, I make fresh every day.
Okay,
in Italy, normally, the burrata they make is... It's coming from the food from Puglia, and usually make the day eaten in the same day.
Okay, so what do you need if you wanted to make your own burrata? Tell us exactly what you need.
Okay, you need the mozzarella cord.
Just keep your face in front of the mic. I know it's hard.
We need the mozzarella cord, and this is the basic what you need it, and then you need the cream, and hot water and salt.
Okay, that's it. All right, so right now you're going to start making it.
Yeah.
So tell us the first couple steps, and then you can go ahead and make it, because
okay,
I see
first
some...
First of all, you need to take the mozzarella cord.
Uh-huh.
And then you're going to break it in little pieces.
Okay.
And then
so it's like shredded.
Shredded, yes.
Like this. You do it by hand, or you use the food processor?
No, by hand. You can do it by hand, or you can cut with a knife.
It's like we have a little bit of Europe in here today, doesn't it?
And then you put on the bowl, you add hard boiled water and salt, and then you're melting.
Okay.
You know? And then I do two things. I do the first thing is the leather,
the leaf.
The leaf,
like
the burrata.
Now, how did you make the mozzarella leaf? Because that looks like, did you have to put it through a pasta
when
roller?
It's melting, when it's melting, you put on the table with the hand, you fill it up.
Okay, so that's hand done.
Yes.
Wow.
And then with the same processing, I'm going to make the mozzarella and I'll make the balls. You can make the balls, it's the same, but... I better make like a half an inch mozzarella. I use this.
So it's
for
like a
the,
shell of the mozzarella
for the
ball.
Inside.
Okay.
It's the inside. In Italy, we call a stracciatella, stracciata.
Oh, yes.
It's a stretch. Yeah. So you can stretch it like this, you know.
Like the string cheese.
Yes. You have this thing is the inside the mozzarella, the burrata. And then with that, you add the cream and you mix everything together. You have the stracciatella, is the inside.
Okay.
The mozzarella. The
so bread. You're mixing cream and cream.
Cream and cream.
To make cream.
To make more cream to put inside the
it's
cheese.
All mozzarella.
Okay. Excellent. All right. Well, while you go ahead and do that,
okay.
We've had, you can, are you going to make it right
now?
Yeah. Excellent. All right. You go ahead and make it. And,
we'll come back to Aris about...
You're going to come in and hear and talk with me? Does that work, Nick?
Yep.
Okay. So it looks like we have something sparkling. Tell us what we got. We
definitely do. One of the things that's great about Saks is we actually have one of the largest sparkling wine selections in the city. And it's very versatile, not just champagne. This is something we've chosen to pair with the burrata since we knew that we're making burrata on the show. Without actually having tasted, but our chef made a beautiful dish just as an amuse to send out to our
guests. Chef is John Senegan, right?
That's correct.
Yes.
And he did burrata cheese, a little bit of extra virgin olive oil, salt, pepper, and he did honeydew to go along with it. And this is one of the wines we paired with it.
Excellent. So what are we pouring?
Maison La Rochette. This is actually a Chardonnay. It's from Burgundy. Like I said, very clean. Pardon me. Very clean. Light brioche and almonds. So that's why I thought it would pair well with the burrata today.
Well, while he's making the burrata, tell us a little bit, because it is quite an interesting champagne program that you are doing there.
Right.
Tell us a little bit about it.
I mean, one of the things that we like to stress about the champagne program there is versatility. We have bottles from, of course, Champagne, France. But then we also, and we're going to hopefully get this in a little bit later, we have a lot of domestic sparkling wines that our sommelier has gone to a large, very, very, worked very, very hard on to make the list as extensive as possible.
Excellent. Okay, great. Well, thank you so much. Chin Chin.
Salut.
Excellent.
Salut.
All right, so...
A votre santé. To your health.
Thank you, thank you.
Now, I want to tell Michelle, this is from France. You like it?
Yeah.
I love it. I love it.
All right, and do we have burrata?
So, is it done?
Wow.
That was so fast. So now, how long will that take until it's done?
Okay. You need to stay at least a couple hours to be firm. You can put it in the refrigerator for a couple hours.
Now, I've seen people also put it into, like, a liquid. Do people do that with burrata or no? That's just mozzarella.
Just mozzarella.
Just mozzarella?
Yeah.
Okay. Okay. So that's it. I mean, that took you, you just stuffed it and then wrapped it?
Yeah, stuff it and then wrap it. You know,
you keep it. You keep it at room temperature, correct?
I keep it at room temperature.
And there's the finished product.
Nice tomatoes, basil, and olive oil.
Beautiful,
gorgeous,
yeah, simple. Gorgeous. Also, you can serve with the prosciutto mm-hmm. di Parma, or roasted peppers. There's many ways to use the burrata, and also the stracciatella you can use to put on top of the pizza mm-hmm. with fresh anchovies,
ooh,
marinated. Or you can make a bruschetta with the roasted tomatoes.
Mm-hmm.
Or you can make on top the pasta. There's many ways
There's
to
lots
use.
Of things to do yeah. with yeah. the cheese. Okay, Chef, we have to take a quick break. But when we come back, we do want to talk about your coal-fired pizzas.
Okay.
Because that's something very different for this region.
Yeah.
This is David and Nikki Nellis and Chef Michel Richard for Foodie and the Beast. We'll be back in just a sec.
Hi, welcome to Best Buy. Can I help you?
Hi. Well, I just moved here and I need a new boombox.
Easy answer. The Insignia boombox with HD radio. We have the coolest radio stations here in town broadcasting with HD radio technology. HD radio receives those broadcasts.
Is that with the digital HD2, HD3 channels?
Yes. Plus, the Insignia boombox with HD radio is only $99.
Wow. Well, that's just what I need. Lead the way.
Insignia HD radio receivers. Get them now at Best Buy. HD radio. More radio. More value.
If you're like me, you have personal belongings that you hold dear. Belongings you can't live without. It's precisely why GEICO makes it easy to get renter's insurance for a really low rate. Renters can protect all their personal belongings for as little as $12 a month. What belongings do I hold dear? This karaoke machine and my vinyl record collection. You fancy a tune? Nah, I shouldn't. All right then. Are you going to Scarborough Fair?
Visit GEICO.com to see how affordable renter's insurance can be.
There's no better way to study the world's best golf swings than to watch them side by side on the range. Move down the line from Arnold Palmer to Fred Couples to Phil Mickelson, and you notice not just the differences, but the similarities, like their wonderful balance, rhythm, and timing. And if you look closely as they leave, you'll notice something else they have in common. The same timepiece, a Rolex Day-Date. Available in 18-karat white or yellow gold or platinum, the Day-Date is put through 15 days and nights of the most grueling testing before it ever leaves Geneva. That ensures that, like these great golfers, it will perform as well in the real world as it does in practice. To see a complete selection of Rolex timepieces, visit your official Rolex jeweler.
See what a new watch can say about you at Torno, the world's largest watch store. Torno. The Fashion Center at Pentagon City, Arlington.
Hey, everybody. We're back on Foodie and the Beast with David and Nikki Nellis. We've got Chef Daniele Turchettian. We're talking burrata. We've got our special guest star host, Michel Richard.
Yay! Yay! Woo! We should have him on every show.
We've been trying to coax him out of his shell the whole show, and it finally worked.
And we have two sparklings being poured for us Aris Noble from Aris Noble, right?
Aris Noble, sorry.
From SAC. Okay.
We'll call you Arnie.
We're going to do a little taste test just a bit, but I thought you should pour... You should cut into that burrata.
I will, and I will.
Give Chef Bichard the honors, or no?
Yes, I'm going to feed him because I love him so much. Wait, no. I'm going to feed you, baby.
Oh, my God, no.
Here we go.
Feed me?
Oh, yeah. Boy.
Here,
better you than me. Go ahead.
There you go. Oh, come on, burrata. Wait, can you get all that in?
Oh, my God, I love it.
Look at that.
Yay. It looks delicious.
I just want to say to him publicly, you're kind of cute.
You're
all right, so, Chef... Very importantly, where is Tagoglio?
Tagoglio is located in 549 in 23rd Street in Arlington.
Okay.
And you make...
Yes.
Your pizzas are coal-fired?
It's a coal-fire.
Yeah, is that traditional Italian?
It's not traditional Italian, but, you know, many restaurants, you know, have place to storage the wood and... Uh-huh. But it's not only that. The important thing is the anthracite is a mineral. It's not make any smoke, any odors, and nothing is clean.
Uh-huh.
And it keep the oven and the temperature.
Fantastic.
And
all right, gentlemen, stop fighting over the burrata.
Mm-hmm.
My goodness.
So good.
Well, thank you so much for coming in today. Thank you for the demonstration. That
thank
was
you.
So much fun to watch. And the burrata is just magnificent.
It's thank delicious. You.
Yes,
delicious.
Thank you.
You're
okay,
welcome.
Chef Michel.
Oui.
Let's talk about your Jean-Louis Paladin dinner. Not only are you doing this, it's December 6th through the 15th, correct?
Yep.
So you're going to do 10 days this menu.
Yep.
And are you taking the recipes from his book?
Of course. I mean,
you are. Okay.
We are using the recipe from Jean-Louis' book.
Mm-hmm.
And we are. You're going to be able to buy the book at the restaurant.
Now, I thought the book was out of print.
No, we did fine. We did fine.
A couple.
Not in the couple. 100 books.
100 books. Okay.
The James Beard Foundation, they keep 100 books for
Jean-Louis'
book.
Whoops. You're getting pushed around.
The guy is pushing me
around. I know.
Be nice, Nick.
It's about time somebody did that to you.
My wife does that the most. She's so bad to me. But I deserve it. Because I'm not always a good man. Hey, anyway, Jean-Louis is going to be able to buy Jean-Louis book, you'll be able to duplicate the food you are going to serve because he has wonderful books.
Now, for people who don't know about Jean-Louis, I mean, because he did pass away some years ago, and he was a force here in D.C., how do you think his food would be taken in today? I mean, is it just as current today as it was 15 years ago?
And one thing, Jean-Louis was a very modern chef. He used to change the recipe all the time.
Mm-hmm.
You know, every week it was something new from at Jean-Louis' restaurant. And it would be the same today. He was looking for new ingredient, new style. He was the best chef.
Tell everybody what he did. When he got here, things changed immediately. He was at the Watergate, and all of a sudden there was this buzz about a whole new way of looking at and enjoying food. What did he do?
I think first, you know, when I moved to this country in 1974, French chef or Italian chef or buying everything from Italy or from France.
Right.
Jean-Louis, when he moved to this country, said, we have the same, we have better ingredients in the States. And he was looking everywhere in this country to find better ingredients or the same kind of ingredient we had in France. He used to go to Maine and talk to the fishermen and bring different fishes here, quality fish. And Jean-Louis was in love with this country. And the other thing was Jean-Louis, he was in love with every chef in this town. It could be an Italian chef, would become his best friend. He was a very good friend with Roberto Donna.
Donna,
all this Italian, French, Canadian. He was in love with every chef in this country. You know, when I moved to this country, French used to stick with French.
Oh.
It was like a ghetto of French people, or French chef. But Jean-Louis was very, very different.
That's
and he was such a nice person. The only thing, one thing was strange with Jean-Louis. You ever met Jean-Louis?
Yes.
He never looked like a chef.
No, he looked like...
He was a long stick.
He looked like Howard Stern.
That's right.
He did.
But you see, he has...
No, that's a compliment. I'm a Stern fan.
Or Howard Stern had many, many girlfriends, no?
No, he's married.
He's married.
An upright citizen.
Yeah,
but this is not the Howard Stern show, so unfortunately.
But anyway, Jean-Louis was a wonderful chef. And then he moved to Las Vegas for a few years.
Right, I remember that.
He moved to Las Vegas. He had a great time in Las Vegas. Too bad he died because he was smoking too much.
Right.
But
lesson learned. Stop smoking, everybody.
Please come to see me. I'm going to see us at Michel in a few weeks.
Right.
And we're going to serve this. He's not going to be as good as Jean-Louis' food, because Jean-Louis is not in the kitchen to make the food. But I'm going to try my best to deliver some wonderful food.
Excellent. All right. Okay, so.
Well, first of all, reservations, how does it happen?
You have to call the restaurant.
Call the restaurant.
Right.
I want to ask you a question that's related, but all that.
Okay, because we have to get into our taste testing here.
Oh, okay. We're going to get into our... You know what? We'll save it for the next time you come.
Okay. Great.
I'll ask you off camera.
So we are doing a taste test...
Yep.
Of two different sparklings. What are we trying?
Two different sparklings.
That's not it. This is.
Oh, you have to taste both?
You have to taste both.
So just between like the left and the right.
Yeah. Okay.
That's why like I had it set up.
Okay.
So what I thought I'd do is just, you know, play a little game with everyone and see if someone can guess what the champagne is. You know,
or a sparkling wine.
Or a sparkling wine. One is from somewhere that you would never guess.
Mm-hmm.
You know, very nice quality. But it's
are they
domestic.
Both sparkling wines, They're or is both... one a champagne and one's a sparkling wine?
Exactly. One is a champagne.
One
is a very traditional champagne. You know, everyone knows it. The other one.
I already know the answers.
Okay. All right, what do you got?
This one's from North Korea.
Okay.
And this is this somewhere in Uzbekistan. I have no idea.
First, I don't know. I think this
one. What do you think?
I think this one is from Japan.
What do you think?